Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine. We are back. We were all looking at Dr. Mixon. He came in with shorts today. How good he's feeling because of the sunshine outside.
You walked in
telling us about the project that you have undertaken.
Oh, boy.
And telling us about the latest updates on it.
That's right. We are in our new studio. My name is Lynette here, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. And we are broadcasting from the brand new studio. I see chairs.
Boxes.
Boxes. Chairs starting to be assembled. I'm excited because
my area is set up. It's looking good.
I keep
look around behind you. You'll see there's boxes and it says the pan heads for the cameras.
Use
your little, joystick to change.
I saw that. Yes. We will not only be coming through your speakers, but in a few weeks we will be video and streaming online as well, so you can see Dr. Mixon and Umat, and I'll be waving at you as well. When we have special guests in here,
a question that I have though for the people.
Yes.
Out there. So you guys can have to give us advice, okay? How should we dress for our show?
Normally.
See, thus far, we've been able to wear anything we wanted because it's radio.
That's right.
Come in with shabby stuff if we're in the mood.
We don't do shabby. We might do fun or eclectic. Okay, that would be me. Okay, and I'm in red, white, and blue stars today, in blue pants and tennis shoes.
But shall I wear a suit?
You shall wear sparkling things so that they can see the sparkle.
You're a sparkling person.
All about sparkle.
I don't have any sparkle stuff.
Well, then you'll have to create a budget and go shopping for sparkle.
That's right. Now, I vetoed the suit thing. I love you in a suit, Dr. Mixon, but maybe we can reserve that for your teaching videos that you do.
Perhaps your
Saturday, or we can just mix it up again.
And that's
too.
The point. Should we do business casual?
Yeah.
Shall we do something a little more formal or dressy? Shall we do, in the hot weather, should we do shorts?
Should we do
Christmas colors?
Oh, boy.
Should we have the ugly sweater,
We'll definitely have to do that once. He's talking my language now. Thematic shows.
Yeah. Well, yes. And since
Dr. Costumes for Halloween.
Since Dr. Umat is Hindu, right? So when you have Hindu celebrations, shall we do some Indian outfits when we come on the show?
She can hook us up. She knows a guy. Yes.
I know a guy. Yeah.
She'll just open her closet.
I've never done a turban.
Endless possibilities.
Indeed.
And we are getting excited.
I wear fedoras a lot and occasionally Stetsons when I go down to Texas. And I have my cowboy boots and stuff. If I'm in a Western mood, I have done the show in boots and jeans. But now that we're going to be visual as well as auditory, deciding, what are we going to do for the show? Are we going to make it more doctorish and dignified?
So we can wear fun scrubs?
there's an idea.
Yes.
What's fun about scrubs?
I don't know. Well, I've never worn them, but I see them, and every time my doctor or nurse has
I connect scrubs to standing operating table
for hours. Okay, so that's not a good...
And get blood and gore down my
Well,
front.
Actually, okay. I know that's the past, but nowadays there are amazingly beautiful scrubs, and the companies that make really nice things, like we have have our team wear upstairs. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're really good.
Okay.
And we can get them in different colors, too. And just to clarify, Dr. Mixon, Indian men wear turban only on the day of their wedding. At least the Hindu men only wear it on the wedding.
Well, I just saw the
wedding picture
from last Saturday.
Yeah.
And so he was wearing a turban.
But that's because he's the groom. The groom was wearing the turban.
All right, so he only wears a turban. Well, and only one wife. Thank you very much. Yes. I can't afford two wives.
There you go.
I'm going to have to keep that up. You know, when I was a youth, though, like most young men, I don't know a single man in his early 20s doesn't fantasize about having umpteen women available all the time. And so I went to medical school at University of Utah, which, you know, has a history of polygamy there. And they have a place in downtown Salt Lake City called the Lion House, which is where Brigham Young lived. And Brigham Young had 27 wives, which, you know, as a young man, I looked at that, and initially I thought, wow, that's pretty neat, 27 women and one man. Oh, let's go. And then I was taking a tour of Lion House, and I was in medical school, though, and so I was learning different stuff. And it suddenly occurred to me, the average woman is PMSing 1 week out of four.
Here it comes.
And so Brigham Young, with 27 women, had seven PMSing females in his life on any given day, every day of his life.
That's true.
I got to tell you, that puts a whole different view on polygamy, guys.
That's not
Nobody
what I was
Nobody in their right mind wants seven PMSing women at the same time every day of his life.
That's true.
He never gets away from them. My God. What a horrible thought.
Every coin has two sides, Jerry.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, boy. Wow, we've opened the show. We've talked about costumes, what we're going to wear on the show, and now 27 PMSing wives of
Brigham. No, only seven PMSing wives, and here's those 27 women.
Unless but they sync up at the same time in
the
same
household.
Could you imagine?
Household. Yeah, if we call it entrainment. If women live together, they often entrain their cycles, and so they all cycle at the same time.
There we go.
That would be a cause for suicide. 27 PMSing women at one time.
He takes a week-long vacation once a month. Oh, boy.
Every week of every month.
Oh, boy. Oh, well, we've already got callers, and none of them happen to be on that topic.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So are you ready to take some calls?
Let's take some calls.
Here's the phone number so you can get in our
subject here just a little bit.
206-421-5757. 5757. That's 206-421-5757. And feel free to weigh in. Should we wear professional, casual, or just Saturday fun clothing? Wendy calling in first from Renton. Hi there, Wendy.
Hello, Wendy.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
And I think the seasonal thing sounds like it would be kind of fun.
Actually, Wendy, what I need you to tell Dr. Mixon is to approve a wardrobe budget for us.
Yeah.
Can you do that
allotment.
For me, please?
Yeah. The girls are hoping for that.
Okay, Dr. Mixon.
All right. I hear you. Well, actually, you know, I was walking downtown Kirkland the other day, and I saw a new business downtown. It's a bespoke tailor for men's haberdashery to make custom suits.
Oh, really? Oh.
I've never had a custom suit in my life. But I might go down and just have him make me a suit from scratch.
There you go.
To do it once in my life. You know, the bucket list. I got a few things I'd like to do.
And that's one of them.
You know what? Go to India. It'll happen in India in a day.
I was going
to
say, they do it in like 24 hours.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, choose your fabric. They have amazing fabric. They'll make you exactly what you want. You'll get it the next day.
Road trip.
And it'll be for a fraction of the cost that you'll pay over here.
Yeah, that's true.
There we go. Okay, Wendy, how can we help you today? Thank you for letting us know.
Hey, I have a question about TMS. Dr. Mixon, I am considering trying that, and I know you know a lot about a lot of things, and I thought you might be able to give me some input on yay, nay. I do have issues, and I am a patient, but I'm just having sleep issues, and I desperately want off the medications that I'm on because the side effects aren't good. I feel they're affecting my memory, and so I just thought if this might be an option, it might be a good thing for me to consider.
Let's back up for a couple of things. What initials did you use?
TMS, transcranial magnetic stimulation for treatment of brain cells for depression.
I've actually got a bunch of papers on that.
Oh, you do? All right. Well, it's non-invasive. It's drug-free. So there, obviously there are some benefits, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Transcranial.
Does it work though?
Well, it does. And for many forms of depression, for anxiety. The brain is basically a electrical field generator to start with. I mean, every one of those billions of neurons in there are connecting to each other, and they're sending little electrical impulses back and forth from, billions of them at any given second. And by using magnetic fields across the skull into the brain, and you can actually focus the guys that do the TMS centers, they actually focus it in the appropriate areas for what they're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. And the papers are very interesting. In fact, there was a time 4 or 5 years ago I was tempted to buy a machine and add it to our to our repertoire, but I decided it was fringy enough from what our core is that I decided not to spend the money. But there are in fact centers now that do nothing but transcranial magnetic stimulation.
Okay. When did you find some people in our area that do
There are 10 people in our area that do it.
Oh.
And I've heard doctors a couple of times on the Christian radio station, and they were, very positive about it. And so I just, it was new to me, but it just sounded like something that might be worth trying. Because
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the Mayo Clinic actually has several papers out on this now, and and it's being used for everything from obsessive compulsive disorders to migraine to help people stop smoking.
Major depression.
Major depression.
Yeah. PTSD.
A lot of things,
And so it
PTSD.
All depends on. Yeah, it all depends on what parts of the brain you're stimulating, and they have different frequencies. I read papers on it years ago. I put a bunch of them in my file just because I was pretty interested. But my knowledge is about 5 years out of date because it's nothing I've looked up recently. It was one of those things that I looked at and then said, nah, I don't think we're going to go there. Mm. But I think when Mayo starts publishing papers on it, you know that it's moving into the mainstream.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, that's...
Okay, we got to take a break. That's when they're playing the music. But just sit tight.
Yeah,
we'll be right
stay
back,
right there,
okay?
Wendy. We will be right back. Okay. Leading Edge Medicine continues. Here is the number to get through with your calls and your questions this morning, 206-421-5757. We'll be right back. Song.
It is. This song should be danced to in our sandals on the beach.
Yeah. Or in the studio like Dr.
Yumat's
doing.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think of it under a swaying palm tree. The moon is high in the night. We've all had a couple of drinks and we're out here dancing in the sand. I think that's it.
When did you say you were doing that for us?
During our
when
clothing
is this office event,
during our clothing allowance of shopping time.
Right.
Okay, Wendy, we're back. We're just a little excited about the music. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Okay,
we get excited.
Great music.
Yes, we do. Yes, fun music.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay, TMS. There's two basic types of TMS, and there is the transcranial magnetic therapies, but then there's the deep transcranial magnetic therapies, and those involve a whole different type of coil. So there's different kinds of magnetic coils that take different size fields that go, some go deeper and wider and affect larger areas of the brain. So sometimes they're trying to focus some fairly superficial areas just in one spot here or there, and other times they got big areas they're trying to treat. And so it all depends on what kind of machine they're using, what type of coil. FDA has actually approved this therapy for a couple of conditions. Mm-hmm. And so those areas that FDA has approved, Medicare might even cover. I don't know for sure.
My understanding is that Medicare does cover it, so I've checked that out. Yeah. And most insurances apparently do, even Medicaid. Okay. So it just seemed like it might be the only drawback, it's 5 days a week and for 2 to 4 months, so it's a big time commitment. But if it would, you know, if it was effective, it's, you know, worth it.
For depression, for anxiety, for OCD, and smoking cessation, PTSD. The reservation I've got is you aren't making a structural change. In other words, you're changing mm-hmm. the magnetic fields. And as you said, it's, you know, several times a week.
I mean, or several months.
Yeah. And then after you finish, how soon do things slide back to where they were?
I was wondering about that too.
Yeah. And so I do have that reservation because my guess is that it will change your mood, your behavior for while it's being done. And maybe for some
time
and
after,
a bleed over period afterwards, but then I would guesstimate that it would have an endpoint and you'd have
to go back
and do it again.
Jerry, even if you do have to go back to do it for many things you do in life, it doesn't have any major side effect, right? It's not like a medication that has other side effects.
So
with the time commitment, I see most of this as a positive, knowing that maybe you might have to go back to do it again. Mm-hmm. But if you can get the same results without having to ingest something that might, you know, have a negative impact on something else in your body, then it's not bad.
No. Well,
right. No.
Surgery, no downtime.
The biggest negative impact, I would think, would be, you know, on our pocketbook.
Well, but Medicare and
they never cover 100%.
They don't cover 100%.
You know, and so if you've got 5 days a week,
you have to pay
for
the drug, too. That's true. Whatever else you do, you're going to have to pay.
That's true. No, so I'm interested. And like I said, it was one of those things I looked at 4 or 5 years ago and was almost tempted to bring it in-house, but decided against it. And since I've kind of fallen behind.
Well, my supplement might cover what Medicare doesn't. Uh-huh. So, because I'm guessing it's going to be expensive. It's about a 30-minute process each time, you know. Uh-huh. So, but I thought it might be something worth, you know, looking into.
Sure. Well, and if it's something that works, I'd love to know about it. So,
What was the name, Wendy?
Let you know.
I remember hearing it advertised on radio stations, but I can't think of the name.
KCIS, KGNW. Heard it on two different programs about a month apart. So I thought,
all right,
I need to consider, need to think about this. Mm-hmm. And I just knew that Dr. Mixon was knowledgeable about so many things that I would at least like to run it by you, because I can call them, and of course I will get their side of, you know, I'm sure this is a very positive thing, you know, but I want somebody who would be knowledgeable but objective. Yes, exactly.
Since I don't have a dog in the fight.
All I want is for it to help you.
Exactly. And I would like it to enhance what I'm, you know, already doing at longevity.
Yes.
And Dr. Pentland is my doctor, and he's terrific. Mm-hmm. I've got GI issues, and he's very helpful in that arena.
He's the guy.
But you know what, Doctor? I have one more really weird question, if I might ask you.
Okay.
I sang in a wonderful 4th of July event at Benaroya Hall on the 3rd this year, just, you know, this week, and as I was walking on the risers, my legs weren't feeling quite right. I didn't know what was happening. And then when I stood to face the conductor, my legs were shaking. And I thought, oh, my goodness, what is going on? And it was very scary, and I had difficulty focusing to sing the first two sets of music. And then the director turned and faced the audience and spoke a few words. And during that time, my legs seemed to calm down. But I attend a large church, and I've sung before 1,000 people, you know, many times. But, you know, Benaroya Hall is a little bit different. But
yes, it
was just, it was a wonderful experience, except for my shaky legs. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what's going on? And I thought, I took my blood pressure when I got home. It was, you know, fairly late, but it was, you know, blood pressure was 128 or 59, but my heart rate was 48, which seemed kind of low.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I don't know if something could have been out of whack, but because I have never had that happen. And thankfully, I was able to sing the last two pieces of music, which were America, the Beautiful, and what was the other one? Oh dear, I'm blanking. I should know. It's been running through my head all week.
Star Spangled Banner.
Star Spangled Banner.
Okay.
We sang that to begin with, but then we sang, oh dear, this is so annoying. But anyway, I was able to sing the last two pieces and not be, you know, it had calmed down. But I've just never experienced that before, and wondered if you might have any idea what would trigger. And we had a very long wait. We were backstage from 4:15, and we didn't sing till 9 o'clock, which was, you know, very late.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so a lot of wait time, and you know, our director had told us there would be, but I had no idea it would be that much. But I didn't feel nervous or anxious, and that's what was so perplexing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, because anxiety attack sounds. I mean, it's my first thought. You know, you got a performance. You're in a much a bigger venue. You've been waiting a long time. It's late at night. You're tired. That sounds like a sympathetic discharge. You know, which the sympathetic nervous system is just an overdrive.
Okay, because I hadn't slept well either. Because after, you know, rehearsals, it's a long time before I come down from that high in order to be able to sleep. So I hadn't had enough sleep either.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Well, you know, thinking of American songs, patriotic songs, I'm always ambivalent about the Star Spangled Banner because it's so hard to sing.
Mm.
On the one hand, on the one hand, you know, my heart starts to palpitate and I get teary-eyed over it if it's being done really well and people aren't just showing off. They're singing the music for the music. On the other hand, I wish we had picked a song that more Americans could sing.
Because it's a difficult piece to sing.
Yeah, very few of us can hit those high notes.
Yeah,
and, the things of, you know, My Country, 'Tis of Thee, you know, America the Beautiful.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are so many songs.
Stars and Stripes.
Stars and Stripes. Yes. There's a whole lot of songs that are patriotic, that are warm, that are, you know, pro-America, that we can all sing. I wish we had chosen a different national anthem.
You know, maybe they wanted to keep it special.
Maybe. But I still remember in elementary school singing the rest of those songs. Because as little kids, none of us could reach those high notes. We almost never sang the Star Spangled Banner. But we did the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. We raised the flag at the beginning of every school day. And we took it down each evening, and we sang patriotic songs at the beginning of every school day, but almost never the Star Spangled Banner, simply because
it's a tough one, especially for kids.
It. Yeah.
You're a grand old flag.
Yes, come on.
Yes.
Gershwin.
It's, this was a wonderful, with the Seattle Wind Symphony, a very fine band, and they accompanied us, and they played a lot of other numbers. Wonderful. And they've been doing this for 9 or 10 years now at Benaroya. the day before, you know, the 4th. And it's just a really neat, if you want a real patriotic event, that's the one. It was, I mean, they packed the place out. And
oh, I bet. Wow.
Well, the music tells us.
For the tickets.
That's
music
right.
Music tells us we got to take a break.
Thank you.
So we're going to go,
so
but
much,
thank you for the call. And listen, when you come in after you get your therapy for a while, let us know. Let Dr.
Yes.
Pentland know. He can tell the rest of us, okay?
Yeah. There we go. All right. Thank you, Wendy. This is Leading Edge Medicine. Time for you to call in with your questions. 206-421-5757. We will be back with Michelle and Barbara Jean in just a moment. Stay right there. It continues in just a moment. We're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. Thank you for tuning in today on this beautiful, hot Saturday morning. We are in the studio, Dr. Samara Umat here, Dr. Jerry Mixon, and taking your calls at 206-421-5757. I'm Lynette. All right. From Lake Union, we are headed over to Michelle. Michelle on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for listening today, Lynette and Doctor. I've called before, but I haven't called like for about a year now. So.
Oh, it's okay. About time.
Well, how can we help you today?
Well, my biggest problem, among other things, by the way, I'm 81 years young.
Good.
And
wonderful.
I've had
that's a good start.
I've had a problem with my veins and in my legs, and a neuropathy is not that bad. But I inherited that from my mom. Bless her. She lived to be 103 with the vein problem in her legs.
Okay.
For years, my mother took something called Dios Vein, Dios Med. D-I-O-S-M-I-N-I. It's like for blood circulation in the leg. So I've taken that my whole life also. Now, I went to a neurologist for my neuropathy that gave me Rivestrol and alpha-lipoic acid.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have really a big problem with the neuropathy. My problem is, I've had a leg cramp on my right leg for 4 days.
Mm.
Now, I've had pickle juice, magnesium glycinate, magnesium malate, hyaluronic acid, calcium, salt, lots of water, lots of fruits. I don't know what else to do. And then I take a Tylenol because I can't stand the pain. And I can't sleep, and it won't go away.
If it's just muscle spasm, then A, I'd say don't take the calcium. Calcium increases muscle spasms. And push the magnesium a little harder. Okay, but the question is it just muscle spasm, or is there something else going on? That's always the worry.
Like a cramp, like when I get, like, I don't get enough water, I get that cramp. It's like it comes on at night, and the pickle juice worked beautiful, but this time it did not work at all. I still have it. It won't leave me.
Okay. You know, muscle cramps and spasms are very common in older people, but it sounds like you're approaching things pretty aggressively.
Yeah.
Normally, I would say what you're doing should have already taken care of it.
Well, how much magnesium are you taking?
Okay, so they say that the malate is the best for the cramp, and that's 1,500 milligram. I took two.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
So she's hitting it pretty hard.
Hard, okay.
I know. Then the glycinate is 1,000 milligram. I took two. And that's because I have the cramp. I don't take two every time.
Okay.
And then I thought the hyaluronic acid, you know, is 1,500 milligram. It's good for pain, I heard. and that doesn't do a doggone thing. No. And that's it. I don't know what else to say.
Do you take any omega fish oils?
No, I drink olive oil. I just drink olive oil. And I put it in my salads and everywhere. But I have not done that much of the fish oil, but I think it's in some of my other things that I take, millions of things that I take. I think there's fish oil in that. But I can't fit anything anymore. My drawer is full.
Yeah, it sounds to me like it sounds to me like you're hitting the supplements pretty heavily. My concern is that something else may be going on that is manifesting initially as this pain that you're thinking of as a spasm. I would really love to have you go in and see your physician as quickly as practical. And let them do a good physical exam. Check the pulses. Check the blood supply. See if they can come up with something else that may be going on. You know, you've already got neuropathy. Which is very common at your age. And I like the medicine your neurologist has given you. The alpha-lipoic acid and the resveratrol both do very nice things for the blood supply around those nerves to help prevent it from getting worse. I haven't seen it cure it very often, but it frequently at least stops it from getting worse. But I'm just worried that if you've got one neurologic problem, you may have another neurologic problem that's triggering these spasms. So rather than just, you know, throwing more supplements, because you're already on a boatload of supplements that should have helped already. Then it's
the
time.
The thing that I did, I ate salt. I never eat salt. I ate salt just to retain the water in my body.
Okay.
And that didn't work either.
And someone like you that has reached a significant age and you're having these sorts of neurologic problems and you're getting spasms, I worry about renal function to some degree. Chronic kidney disease can manifest as a whole lot of problems in this particular area. So I'd go see your doctor. You need a good urinalysis. You need a good blood test. You need your electrolytes checked. And you need a good physical examination.
Mm-hmm.
I should see a neurologist, right?
You can get into a neurologist in the near future. But
I know.
But you know, often the appointments for the subspecialty care may be 3-4 months out. Mm. So I'd go in to see your primary care doctor as quickly as you could. You know, explain these problems and tell him that you're worried about your kidney function, you're worried about some neurologic issues, and let that doctor do the initial evaluation. You got to remember, I'm an old country doctor myself, you know, and so those of us who treated the whole patient from top to bottom, we get vaguely familiar with a whole lot of stuff. And so, you know, at least we know when to refer you to the subspecialist, when it's something he can handle. But he can probably at least narrow down the diagnosis for us. So get into your primary care doctor and let them take a look at you as quickly as they can, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm enjoying your show every Saturday. Well, thank you.
All right.
Well, you keep it up for the next 10 or 15 years, would you please?
Yes, thank you for the call, Michelle.
Okay.
And good luck to you, Michelle.
Bye-bye.
We're going to take a little sailboat over from Lake Union, where Michelle was calling, over to Mercer Island. Barbara Jean is there. Good morning, Barbara Jean. We're going to take a break in a moment, but let's at least get your question for the doctors.
Okay. First, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
And I'm one of your clients, and I do whatever is asked of me. I never, I'm not one of those rear back and act like a fucking bronco and then argue.
All right.
I'm not like that. Okay. On Monday, not the one we had, the one day after tomorrow, I'm supposed to come in for a blood draw. Uh-huh. And I read my literature, and it says that about the fasting, and I agree, I don't have a problem. And then it says that you're supposed to use your creams, okay, mm-hmm. and I will. But here's my problem. It says to take the DHEA mm-hmm. and pregnenolone.
Pregnenolone, yes.
I'm sorry for mispronouncing it. 2 hours prior. Last night, I ran out of pregnenolone.
All right.
And I would, my guess is, wouldn't it give false results?
Yeah, your pregnenolone will be lower than it otherwise would be. But if you tell the doctor that, they can compensate.
And then the vessel protection, uh-huh. I'm out of that one too. And so this was how I was thinking. I was thinking that perhaps I could come in Monday and reload on all of the supplements and everything and move the blood draw a week. Push it back a week to get the balance right.
Yeah, you can do that, and that'll give us much better lab results because then we know what to expect. So, yes, call in first thing Monday morning and tell them that you just need to come in and get your supplements updated, make sure you have enough of everything, and that you need to put the blood draw off a week, and they can arrange that for you with no trouble at all.
Mm-hmm.
They'd be happy to help.
Because I'm not trying to cause trouble.
No.
I'm trying to prevent it.
Absolutely the best way to go. And so you're not going to find anybody at the clinic complaining about that. So you go on in, get your supplements, get the blood draw a week later, and it just moves things out a week. It's not a big deal. We're happy to do that.
Well, thank you. And happy trails.
Happy trails.
All right. I like that. Happy trails.
Happy trails.
Thank you, Barbara Jean. After Dr. Mixon finishes the song, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with John and Catherine. And we can take your calls as well. Here's the number to get through into the call queue. 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living. Barely getting by, it's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy.
You know, I think they need to do a remake of that movie because we have Jane Fonda, we have Dolly Parton, and we have Lily Tomlin still. Can you imagine? Can't remember the guy's name, though, but I knew all the women in that that movie.
Nobody remembers that guy.
Yeah, nobody remembers that guy. He was in a chair with a phone wire around him.
Yeah, I remember when I saw that movie many, many, many years ago. I laughed and laughed. I thought it was just the funniest thing around. But now, you know, as a boss and hiring umpteen dozen or hundred people, and being that boss, I find the song somewhat insulting, actually. I don't treat my staff that
no,
way.
No, you do not. You are one in a million there.
So I try to keep my staff as happy as I possibly can.
You do a good job with
I
that.
Don't think I'm going to give you much of a clothing allowance or a chance to dance on the beach in the Caribbean.
No, we just start wearing our old stuff. Dr. Umel, we'll just start wearing our old shabby stuff in, and we'll see how quickly. No, I'm just kidding.
That's right.
No, we would not do that.
Of course.
Okay, let's go to another phone call. We've got a few of them stacking up here. Headed to Vancouver, Washington with John on the line. Hi, John. Welcome.
Hello, John.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for your military and community service, Doctor. For the national anthem, I'm going to vote for the Marine Corps hymn.
The Marine Corps hymn.
I think it'll be a good one.
Well, maybe. although, you know, I think the catchiest tune of all is the Coast Guard.
It is, yes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yep. They've actually got the snappiest, most cheerful tune of the bunch.
I'll have to Google that up here pretty soon.
Well, you know, and I love their motto, which is Semper Paratus, which is Latin for always prepared. Mm. You know, the Marine Corps, you know.
Semper
Fidelis, which is always faithful. Mm. The Navy translates as always courageous. Huh. The Army has the most interesting, because they're the oldest of the services. And theirs is not in Latin. Theirs is in English, oddly enough. Mm. And if you try to look up their motto, it's a visual, because it was designed for a flag. And what you get is there is a scroll, and perched on the scroll is a fierce eagle. And above that is the motto, which says, "This we defend," which is, and the scroll is the Constitution. So you've got "This we defend." The Army is there to defend the Constitution. Mm. And as an American, that's the one that warms my heart the most.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand,
that is true.
You know, their song being, you know, the caissons, the caissons go along. That makes good sense for the artillery, but not for the grunt carrying a rifle. Hmm. So I don't know what the Army song should be, but I don't like the one they got. Anyway, I digress.
Whatever it is, we owe a lot to the soldiers. I got a question on K2 and zinc. Are you supposed to take those together?
They make a very good combination, but vitamin D and zinc is usually... vitamin D and K2.
K2, yeah.
Vitamin D and K2 is usually the combination that you see jointly. Zinc is more of a standalone if you're looking for fertility or you're looking for... for viral suppression.
Yeah.
Zinc is very good for viral suppression. It's good for to help sperm motility for
acne.
Yeah, but vitamin D and K2 are the ones that are usually sold as a combination.
Curcumin, take it on an empty stomach.
Curcumin, I don't think much matters. You know, the primary curcumin is from turmeric, which is a spice that is done in curries. Things that I normally get from foods, I say go right ahead and take them with foods. And most of the dietary supplements are just that. They're extracted from foods of various sorts. So I have no objection to taking most of those with food.
Okay. Thank you very much. You guys have a great day.
You too, sir. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, John. We'll just keep going because we've got lots of calls today. Headed to Bellevue, Catherine is on the line. Good morning, Catherine. Welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Catherine.
Oh. Hello. I hope all of you had a great 4th.
Yes.
A very nice 4th.
I'm calling about an autoimmune disorder called Sjogren's. Mm-hmm. And I've been the last year kind of thinking that all these problems that I've been having are related to it. And a year ago, I got diagnosed with SS, the salivary gland, the salicylate. Mm-hmm. I can never say it.
Okay.
Are you familiar with what I'm saying?
Yep. And so, and that's common with Sjogren's, by the way. So, yes.
Correct. And so I was sent to an ENT, and he's the one that decided to draw, a panel for immune. And it came back negative, but my RNP, I think it was my RNP, was like 1640 or something. So okay. I got diagnosed to sent to a rheumatologist, and she did a bunch of tests. And anyway, I also have dry eyes, and I've had that for years, sensitivity to light. Anyway, I have a lot of the symptoms of it. But mm-hmm. the test is
dry mouth with your dry eyes?
Oh, yes, yes.
Okay.
Off and on. Mm-hmm. And then I get this period, kind of the question I have with this particular disease, can it flare up and you have symptoms?
Yes.
And then it kind of settles down, because I get just so tired and I feel like I'm fighting something. And then this last episode I just had 2 weeks ago where I started, aching, and then finally my glands just got really painful. This time, for the first time, I caught a fever. But my point is, in addition to this past year, I've had also a blip biopsy, and that came back negative. But I also had a diagnosis that a root canal had failed and my tooth was infected, and my cheek is swollen.
Okay.
So
we're going to have to take a break here in just a moment, but this is an interesting situation. So we're going to come back and discuss Sjogren's syndrome and its connection with other autoimmune diseases when we get back from the break, okay?
Okay, so stay right there, Catherine and Kay and DJ. You stay there as well. We'll get to your questions. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Hour number two continues with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat in just a moment. Stay right there.